Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Good morning. Heritage. I quit my teaching job. And our forever home has a for sale sign in it. Because God had other things in mind. So those are tears of joy. And I thank you. It was about that third row several weeks ago when we came to visit. And during worship, I had no idea what was going to happen, but I felt God all over me. And I felt like he was saying, get ready. And it's just been a journey since then. And we are excited to come and to serve you and to love you. And we're just going to let God be God. Pastor Fry, we loved his message last week saying, do you smell the rain? Heritage, God is coming and I smell the rain. I smell it in our teenagers. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And we need to partner with them. And so I'm just excited to hear what God has done and what God has in store. In 2006, we were living in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That is the home of President Ford. And when President Ford passed, they were going to allow at the Ford Museum people to go to his viewing. And so I think that our kids were like 3, 7, and 11 maybe. And so I thought, you know, that's something I would want to do. We're just down the road. And Jim said, he was working in a second job, and he said, I'll just take Jared with me because I think he's too young for that. And so me and the kids with some friends of ours stood in line. They lined you up downtown Grand Rapids. It was January, but it was unseasonably warm for some reason, or we would have froze. Then you went inside a big building and like a roller coaster, back and forth, back and forth. We waited 6 hours in line to view the casket of President Ford. And when we walked into the front of that museum, there was a military presence. The casket was like one I hadn't seen before. And I went to tell my children, like, shh, make sure we don't talk in here. And I stopped because they already recognized that you weren't supposed to talk in here. I shook his children's hand and told them that I was praying for them. And what I'm telling you is, I kind of knew that this something and this president viewing was a little larger than I was, and something that I had never been a part of before. And it was something that I needed to be appreciative and to honor. I want to compare that today to our worship service as we come here today. If you would, go to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they called out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he made which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is a beautiful example of worship and how worship is a process that we come into. You know, Isaiah would have been trained in the Hebrew, and he would have been a very acceptable and a very professional priest or chaplain, following those rules and procedures, doing what he knew he was to do. But then, one day, he saw the Lord. And it was as if nothing before, I believe this, it was as if nothing before mattered until the day that he saw the Lord. You see, church, we can come to church and not see the Lord. I believe that, and I've been there many times. I'm coming to church because I'm supposed to come to church, or maybe I'm just feeling off and I'm going through the motions, right? And maybe when will this be done? We've been there. But when we worship, we first have to see the Lord. And in order to see the Lord, we have to be looking for him. When I was a kid, anytime we were in the car, my Grandpa Fry would say we'd have to stop everything because he would see a deer. Okay? I will tell you, from the first deer I looked at to the last deer he told me to look at, they looked the same. I'm sorry. But he was so excited to see a deer. And so he was always looking. But when you're driving down the road, some people don't look side to side for deer. They just look at what's ahead of them. But if you're looking, you're going to see. And if we come in looking for Jesus, I believe that we will see him. Verses 3 and 4, we see God's holiness. We see God's holiness. The angels cry out. The angels have one thing to say when they see God, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." In the Hebrew, when something is repeated three times, it means that we're supposed to notice. It's for total emphasis. It commands our attention. We don't read, "Great, great, great is the Lord. Creator, creator, creator is the Lord. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord." The only thing that's repeated three times is holy, holy, holy. And it distinguishes that there is no one or anything like our mighty God. Our God is separate and set apart. Everything with God that he created is different than he. And when we worship, we see who God is. We see who God is. We begin to forget about self, and we begin to look up and give him praise. We will learn as we continue to worship that God is infinite. There is no beginning and there is no end. And we don't even know how to imagine that, because everything we know on this earth has a beginning and an end. We know in his presence that God does not change. This world changes so fast, I can hardly recognize it sometimes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. We have all kinds of needs. If I said to you, if you have a need right here today, raise your hand quick and put it down. Yeah. We have needs. God has none. God is all powerful. He lacks nothing. He has everything that it takes to do everything that we need. He is all knowing. That's why we pray to him. That's why we seek what he knows and what we do not. And he begins to fill us. God is full of wisdom. And scripture tells us if we pray and if we seek wisdom, God will supply. When we don't know what to do or where to go, God is the one that will show us. God is faithful. God is always, always faithful. We pray to him because he will not turn from us. He will always be there when we are faithful, but even when we are unfaithful. God is good. I know that life sometimes is not good and circumstances are not good, but our God is always good. His heart is good, and he is just. His decisions are always the best, and we can count on that. When we enter into his presence, whether it's worship in a corporate setting where we're all together, or whether it's in a motel where you're a small group, or whether you're one-on-one, God begins to block the vision that we have, and he begins to take the veil off, and we begin to see as God sees. I think for that moment in time, he gives us that perspective. You know, and a lot of times we think of worship only through song, and there are so many other ways that we can worship. But song speaks to us. Hey, I recently saw the Elvis movie. Music somehow connects right with our heart and right with our soul. That is why God created our soul, and I believe he created music to have that connection. But when we begin to just, that song pulls us right into where God is. And I believe worship is absolutely beautiful, but I believe we need to worship one-on-one. I remember thinking, you know, my family had a singing group and they were a little bit fanatical. I'm just going to say that. They were all about Jesus. And I remember thinking, you know, I love Jesus and I'm going to serve him, but maybe I don't want to quite go over the edge like they did. And I remember God just speaking to my heart, saying, I want you to praise me when you're alone with me. Okay? I remember someone gifted us when we were first married this ugly green couch. I'm sorry, it was very nice of them, but it was an ugly green couch. And I remember sitting on that green couch, making sure the blinds were pulled. And I remember just one-on-one, beginning to sing. I'm beginning to lift my hands up, just me and God. And what he would do is he would just remind me of who he is, all of those attributes that I spoke of, and he would begin to change my heart. Because here's the thing, if I was upset with someone when I was worshiping, God would say, go make that right. Be different. Do better. In a situation that I was frustrated with, God would say, maybe look at it from this point of view. And so when I would worship him by myself, that veil would begin to come off that blocks us in just our humanness. And we would begin to see. When Isaiah in this scripture sees the holiness of God, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't take notes. He didn't call a church meeting. He didn't schedule a conference, okay? And all those things I do and they are good, but they have their place, church. I'll tell you what he did. He bowed down in response to his holiness. And he worshiped God. I was at a retreat one time. I was the speaker, and someone else was giving a testimony. And they told about just knelt down on the floor before God. And I remember thinking, I don't know that I've been that deep. It came from a broken heart that she was sharing. And she found herself bowed at the feet of Jesus. Physically and symbolically. And I remembered wanting a little bit more in my worship and what I had. Isaiah recognized that it's always about God and it's not always about me. and it's not always about you. Let me tell you of a time when I got mixed up. We were full-time ministry. Our daughter was three. There was a children's theater that they were putting on that was just wonderfully amazing, and we had bought tickets for your dinner, and then you would see the show, and the kids would sing. You had to be 4 years old to be in it, so Ashley wasn't old enough to be in it. So we go to the dinner theater. It's beautiful. Everything's just perfect. They ran out of seats. So I said, here, take mine. That's what you do in ministry. Then they put us in the hallway, which was fine. They ran out of food. So I said, no, now this is a good thing. They had so many people there. I said, you know what? I don't need to eat tonight. Then Ashley couldn't see, so I held her like the whole time because she wanted to see the program. So my feet hurt and my arms hurt. So when I got home, I was tired and hungry and a little bit grumpy. And I think I walked in because I think you were still cleaning up. And so I think in my spirit, I said like, well, that wasn't the best night, God. That's when he put it in my heart. I thought it was about me, he said. I began to cry. I was so ashamed. Where did I begin to think that that night was about me and my comfort and my food? When God said, I was glorified. I was glorified tonight by kids worshiping and lifting their voices. Ask yourself sometimes, and I'm going to keep asking me, when we're complaining and when we're restless, was God glorified? Was it about God and not about me? That's what worship does for us. Worship also allows us to see where we fall short and to ask us for forgiveness. God, I didn't even think about that, but thank you for bringing it to my mind while I'm worshiping you. And God, thank you for forgiving me so that I can stand pure before your presence. We will see things through different eyes. God has totally changed my mind at different times because I've worshiped. What I thought was a good decision before I worshiped, whether I'm bowing, whether I'm praying, whether I'm singing, afterwards, God has said, that's not so good. Let's change that. We need to leave this place on Sunday morning a little bit different than before we came in. Not because of anything that goes on up here by us, but because we've spent time in the presence of Jesus. That's why we come, to see him, to recognize. And then our worship must challenge us to respond. If you guys on the IYC just come back and you don't change a thing, you're missing it. Right, Josh? You have totally missed it. You can't just say, remember the Alamo. Okay, remember, but what is next? Isaiah says, oh, send me. Pick me, God, please. You ever been that kid in the back? I'm ready. In high school, I played volleyball and softball and basketball. And when I was taken out of the game, I didn't go to the end of the bench because I thought they might forget about me. I sat right there by the coach because I was ready again. I was ready again. When is the last time we've said to God, oh, thank you, Jesus. And God, will you send me? Will you pick me? I want to go, and I want to do what you've asked me to do. Church, we're not coming just to go through the motions. We're coming to worship. What was going to happen to him? But he was where he needed to be, in the temple. I would challenge you to come into this place ready to worship, to see Jesus, to allow him to show you where you need to be forgiven, where I need to be forgiven, where our perspective needs to be different. And church, respond. Pick me. Oh God, pick me. I'll give it all that I have. May we see Jesus in a brand new way as we give him glory today.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.